Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Vapes of Wrath by Renee George. Narrated by Margaret Strom. Chapter 1.
Oh my gosh!
Tippi Davenport exclaimed.
This place has a freaking spiral staircase up to the loft. Can I have that room? Yes!
Jilly, Pippa, and I all said simultaneously. I was as adventurous as the next 54-year-old, but there was no way I would be climbing up and down 20 steps of a circular maze every morning and night for the next 2.5 days. There were 3 other bedrooms in the River Bluff House on the Rivière Tranquille Vineyards property. The vineyard had been established in 1934 by vigneron Rigel Nichols, a British expatriate who'd stayed in France after World War I to learn the art of winemaking. He relocated to the small Midwest town of Marseille, Missouri. The local pronunciation was Marseille, not the French Marseille, to start his own label. According to the website, the place was still family-owned and operated. I'd booked us a 3-day midweek package to celebrate my best friend's upcoming wedding. After kissing a lot of toads over the years, my BFF Jilly Martin had finally found herself a Dr. Charming. On Saturday, 4 days from now, she would officially become Jilly Graham. Scott Graham, an emergency room doctor, was the whole package. Friendly, handsome, professional, and most importantly, treated Jilly like a real partner. I couldn't be happier for her. At least, that was the act I was putting on. Don't get me wrong, I was thrilled for Jilly, and I knew Scott would spend the rest of his life making her happy. Still, I would miss having her next door. I'd moved over to Jilly's neighborhood so that we could spend more time together. But between work, spending most of my free time with my guy Ezra, and consulting on the occasional criminal case with the Garden Cove PD, I'll admit we hadn't seen as much of each other as I'd expected. Still, it had been nice knowing she was there. I tucked my insecurities away as I gestured at the chunky, comfortable furniture, the hardwood floors, the upgraded kitchen, and the large balcony. I gave a sigh of relief. The place looks just like its pictures. That wasn't always the case when you booked from a website. Pippa's blonde ponytail bobbed as she nodded her agreement. I can't believe I have 2 whole days without JJ, the dogs, and Jordy. Lord help me. I love them all to pieces. But sometimes a girl needs a few days of no responsibility. Her hips were fuller since having her daughter, but Pippa's delicate bone structure and willowy height made her look rail thin.
Amen.
Tippi, who was the mini-me for Pippa, same fine bones, same height, and same blonde hair, exclaimed from the loft.
We are wild and carefree.
Not too wild or carefree, Pippa cautioned her younger sister. Since moving to Garden Cove 2 years earlier, Tippi had worked almost full-time as her sister Pippa's nanny. The move and the job had changed the younger woman's life in many ways. For one, she'd gotten and stayed sober. The irony that we were at a vineyard and Tippi was our sober buddy was not lost on me. She'd insisted she could handle it. I hoped for her sake and Pippa's that she was right. Tippi came back down into the living room. She grabbed her large suitcase and hauled it up the spiral stairs, making me so happy I hadn't been saddled with that space. Tippi was in her mid-30s and life-cycled daily for exercise. She could handle the impact on her joints better than those of us in the over-40 crowd. Not that I wasn't active. I walked 3 miles every morning, barring bad weather. Between that and the shots in my knees, I didn't have much trouble. Still, it was better not to add to the wear and tear if I could help it. As my mother used to point out, You only get one body, so it pays to take care of it. We scoped out the other bedrooms. I was pleased by the scent of crisp pine cleaner and bleach. It meant my smell-o-vision, a.k.a. my psychic nose, was less likely to be active. Unless someone had a strong emotional connection to the aroma of cleaning products, I was safe from other people's memories for the moment. Pippa and I took the two queen suites, and Jilly, as the bride-to-be, took the main king suite. All the bedrooms, including the loft, had private bathrooms, but only Jilly's included a large freestanding tub. It was fine by me. I preferred a shower anyhow.
"You can see the river from the bathroom," Jilly called out. "The view is spectacular."
She slung her arms around me from behind.
"It's perfect."
She gave me a conspiratorial look.
"Where are you hiding the strippers?"
"I told you, no strippers. It's not that kind of a bachelorette."
"Fine," she huffed. "But I would have ordered you a few strippers."
She laughed all the way to her room. I smiled as I went into my room, unpacked my suitcase, and put my toiletries in my ensuite. It was after 5, and as the maid of honor, I'd planned this getaway to a T. "We have reservations for dinner at La Souterre in an hour. Dress is classy casual." Pippa popped her head into my room.
"Can I just say again how excited I am for a grown-up getaway?"
I grinned. "You can say it as many times as you like." 40 minutes later, we were at La Souterre. The exterior was a combination of stone and stucco, with a large sweeping roof that gave it a French country vibe. We were dressed to the sevens for the evening, and with time to spare before our reservation. Unfortunately, that meant we had to wait at the bar for our table to open. Fortunately, the place had live music from a band called the Ray Tones, and they weren't half bad for a local four-piece cover band. The lead guitarist, who also doubled as the lead vocalist, crooned Bob Seger's Night Moves to 5 enrapt tables of swaying fans near the small stage area. Tippy sat on the bar stool to my right. She leaned over until our shoulders were touching and muttered, "Hot damn, he's cute." She wasn't wrong. He was clean-shaven and looked to be in his mid-30s, but with the chiseled jawline of a high school quarterback. He wore a tight black T-shirt that showed off his muscled arms and chest, and even tighter jeans that showed off his other assets. 2 of the 5 tables were crowded with women wearing black T-shirts with Ray Tones written in fancy lettering on the backs. They were chair dancing as they sang along to his every word. "Looks like he has a fan club. I'm sure they'll let you join." One of the tables had a stack of CDs and T-shirts for sale. "They even have merch if you want to follow him on the road." Jilly snorted a laugh, and Tippy gave me a sour look.
"I just said he was cute."
I fought the grin tugging at my lips.
"And you aren't wrong," I conceded. "He's cute."
The bartender, the woman who had checked us in for our house when we arrived, finally came over and took our drink order. 2 white wines, 1 red, and 1 sparkling grape juice.
"Black, party of 4?
A young woman in blue with a white apron asked. "That's us," I told her. She held a stack of menus under her arm.
"Your table is ready."
"What about the drinks?"
Jilly asked.
"I'll stay for them," Tippy offered. "It shouldn't take too long. It's not like we ordered anything complicated. You guys get settled at the table."
"Sounds good." I gave her a grateful smile. I'd requested a table with a view and was happy when they put us in front of a large window with a view of the vineyard and away from the music. We could still hear it, but it wasn't nearly as loud as at the bar. The delicious scent of sautéed vegetables and roasted meats made my mouth water. Luckily, I'd only had to suppress a few scent-related visions. I'd been working on visualizing walls whenever an unwanted private memory popped into my head. It helped to some extent, but I still caught the occasional glimpses, and sometimes the emotion behind the memories was too strong to shove away.
Good evening.
The waitress greeted us as we sat down. I'm Donna, and I'll be your server tonight.
Can I start you off with some drinks?
We have some wine coming, Jilly said, but we'd like ice water for everyone as well.
You got it, Donna remarked. Ice water's coming up. I'll be back to take your order then.
Sounds good, I told her.
The menus were fancy one-page inserts in leather holders with a four-course selection menu. The appetizers section listed goat cheese and almond-stuffed dates drizzled with burgundy syrup, crab-stuffed grape leaves with champagne butter sauce, and grilled garlic shrimp in a white wine reduction.
These appetizers sound to die for, Jilly said. I'm jazzed to try the stuffed dates. It sounds like the perfect blend of savory, tangy, and sweet.
I wasn't a fan of goat cheese. I think I'll go for the crab-stuffed grape leaves. Jilly's lower lip jutted slightly.
I wish Ari could have made it.
She's solidifying her future, I reminded her. Jilly's daughter, Ari, had been working a summer internship with a colossal cybersecurity firm in Chicago. The girl was whip-smart, a virtual tech savant. And she's driving home on Friday, so she'll be here for the wedding.
I know, Jilly sighed. I just miss her.
I patted Jilly's hand and then glanced over at Pippa. My blonde bestie's brow was knitted in a worried frown.
What's wrong?
I asked her.
Are you missing JJ and Jordy?
She shook her head and glanced at the bar where Tippy waited for the drinks.
All this food has alcohol in it, she said.
Jilly put her hand on Pippa's arm.
The alcohol is burned out of the sauces during cooking, but I'm sure they'll leave them off if Tippy is worried.
Pippa raised her brow. I'm worried. Tippy isn't worried enough. Do you think she's drinking again? I asked. Pippa was a good 13 years younger than me, but the way she made everyone and everything her responsibility made her seem older. She'd started as my employee and had become one of my best friends. She was the one I called when I decided to open a beauty supply salon in Garden Cove. 3 years later, she was my business partner, and our little shop, with online sales and a big client who bought our lotions in bulk, was doing a lucrative business. Her sense of responsibility made her a business asset, but it could get in the way of her enjoying life. Tippy is going to make her own choices, I said. We can hope she makes good ones, but you can't beat yourself up if she doesn't. Those decisions aren't about you. Pippa sighed as she rubbed the tip of her index finger along the wood grain on the table.
I know.
Her expression was bleak.
She lives in my home, and I trust her with the care of my daughter. For the past 2 years, she's been in a controlled environment. If she isn't going to a meeting in her free time, she's talking with her sponsor or Jordy. This will be the first time she'll have to face alcohol without a buffer. If she falls off the wagon, I don't know where that leaves us. I love her. I'll continue to love her. But I don't know if I can have her around if she starts drinking again.
I gave my friend a soft smile. How about we give Tippy the benefit of a doubt until she gives us a reason not to trust her?
You're right. Pippa leaned back in her chair. I'll try to relax.
You better, Jilly told her. This is my special getaway, and I don't want any drama.
I'd been so focused on Pippa's worries that I hadn't noticed the music stopped playing until a woman shouted,
I'll kill you!
We all turned wide-eyed to the bar and saw Tippy getting berated by a short blonde who was being held back by the band's guitar player. I glanced at Jilly as the three of us exited our seats. "Drama always seems to find a way," I told her. She gave me a thin-lipped grimace.
"Every freaking time."
Chapter 2. There was a collective gasp in the restaurant as the irate blonde threw her drink at Tippy. Tippy sputtered, her face dripping with whatever had been in the woman's glass.
"Are you freaking kidding me?"
She dabbed at her cheeks with the back of her hands. Her beige, low-cut silk blouse was splotched with liquid across the chest, and I could see the lace of her bra through the delicate fabric. I took my sweater off and handed it to her. Tippy looked down at her chest and huffed.
"This is Saint Laurent. Do you have any idea how much it cost?" "An expensive top doesn't make you any less of a cheap whore," the woman seethed.
"Calm down, Buttons," the guitar player soothed. "I was just getting some drinks." I braced myself for the explosion as Buttons sputtered,
"Don't tell me to calm down."
She thrust her hand out, flashing an emerald-cut diamond engagement ring with a halo of smaller diamonds around the stone and on the band.
"I saw you give her your number. Don't even act like you didn't."
"Buttons, baby," he cooed. "She was asking me about my rates for a gig." The guy was obviously lying, but I could see the conflict in Buttons' face as to whether she should believe him or not. Jilly, the peacekeeper, stepped in.
"I'm getting married in a couple of weeks, and I have been looking for a band to play at the reception."
Tippy gave her a wide-eyed, incredulous look that matched the blonde's expression. She gave a slight head shake, but played along.
"Yep, that's right. Just needing a band."
"I am so sorry," said the bartender, an attractive woman in her 40s, early 50s, with red hair. "Cops are on the way." She gave Buttons a pointed stare. "And you're looking at assault charges for that drink toss. Hope it was worth it."
"You called the police?"
Buttons sputtered.
"But I'm family."
"Sorry, Darlene," the woman said. "Paying customer trumps deadbeat niece." "Ouch." Buttons, real name Darlene, winced. Then she screwed her face up and reddened.
"Uncle Tommy would roll over in his grave to see how you're running this place into the ground. I can't believe he married you, gold-digging whore," she seethed.
Tippy glowered.
"You like to throw around that word, don't you?"
Darlene gave Tippy a once-over.
"If the horseshoe fits,"
Pippa interrupted. "I don't think we need to involve law enforcement."
"This is $1,000 shirt," Tippy countered.
"That Mom and Dad paid for," Pippa reminded her. "Do we want to deal with filling out a bunch of paperwork at the police station for something that could be fixed with some club soda and a damp towel?
This is Jilly's bachelorette getaway."
"Fine," Tippy harumphed.
"I won't press charges."
She narrowed her gaze at the blonde.
"But Buttons is paying for the dry cleaning." "I'll do no such thing," the pert blonde snapped.
"Now, sweetheart," the guitar player soothed. "I'll pay for the dry cleaning." Tippy, who couldn't help herself, added,
"I have his number."
Button surged forward with an unholy scream and lunged at Tippy. The guitar player snagged her by the waist and pulled her back.
"You come near my man again, and I'll kill you," she threatened. "I'm not one to be trifled with."
"My gosh, Darlene,"
a blonde chided from behind her.
"Your jealousy is going to get you neck deep in a river of crap."
Mind your business, Ellie,
Darlene replied. She turned her attention back to the guitar player.
I swear to God, Blake, this is the last time.
The sirens outside the restaurant and the flash of blue and red lights through the windows brought her up short. The bartender aunt waved at Ellie with two fingers.
Get your cousin out of here before she ends up in a drunk tank.
To Darlene, she added, this winery might be a family business, but remember who owns this place. You are here because I allow it. And if you keep pressing me, girl, that allowance will disappear.
She brushed her palms together.
Poof,
she said.
Gone. Just like I want you right now.
Darlene's gaze narrowed, and she looked ready to explode. But, surprisingly, she allowed her cousin Ellie to drag her away without another word. Seconds later, they were out the back door and gone.
I'm real sorry, Rhonda,
Blake said.
You know she didn't mean it.
The redhead shook her head. Get back to work. Your set break is over. A tall, thin guy with sandy blonde hair, whom I recognized as the keyboard player, joined our group at the bar.
Why are the police here?
Because your sister can't behave herself, Rhonda told him. Now, like I told Blake, break is over. The drummer, a guy with cinnamon brown curls and a dark beard, put his hand on the keyboardist's shoulder.
Been waiting on those drinks,
he said with forced joviality.
What's taking so long?
Rhonda popped the top on three beer bottles and pushed them across the bar. The quick move sloshed some of the beer onto the counter. Rhonda shook the liquid from her hand and said, Here.
Now, get back to it.
The scent of beer spun me momentarily as a strong memory took me. It's dark, but I can hear a hushed giggle as a man whispers, You're so damned sexy. We can't keep doing this, the woman whispers back. I think he's already suspicious. I tried to force the memory away, but the emotion behind it was filled with love, longing, and loss. Cheesily, the man says, If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. The woman chuckles, then gasps. It's too dark for me to see what they're doing, but her soft moans and his ragged breaths, along with a rhythmic rattle of whatever they are up against, make it fairly obvious. There is a loud clank of glass, then a pop, followed by a fizzing sound.
My beer fell off the shelf,
the man hisses.
Your beer fell off the shelf,
the woman agrees. Then they both laugh. I blinked as the memory faded and gave a slight head shake when Jilly arched her brow at me. The whispered voices in the dark room had made it impossible to guess whom the memory had belonged to, and it was just as well, but I had my suspicions. The lead singer had been flirting with Tippy while engaged to Darlene. However, it was none of my business, so I planned to treat it as such.
Come on, Paul,
the guitarist slash lead singer said to the blonde keyboardist. Paul looked around the room.
Where did Darlene go? Ellie took her home,
Blake told him. That seemed to mollify Paul.
All right, then.
He had a hangdog look about him as he grabbed one of the beers, then turned on his heel and went back to the small stage. Two uniformed officers entered through the front door and made a beeline to our location.
Ms. Nichols,
the older of the two cops greeted Rhonda.
You called in an assault.
He had short, dark hair, a little gray at the temples, and was handsome in a George Clooney way. He looked at Tippy and raised his brow.
Is this the perpetrator or the victim?
The change in Tippy's demeanor with his word choice was noticeable. Her brows knitted together and her lips thinned into a frown.
I am not a victim.
What she means, I said, jumping in before it all went sideways, is that she doesn't want to press charges. It was a misunderstanding that's over now. Right, Tip? Tippy rolled her eyes and then nodded.
Right.
I'm sorry to drag you all down here, Terry, Rhonda said. Darlene was drunk, and she got out of hand. It's over now. The officer gave her an aw-shucks smile. No worries. I don't mind coming out. You call any time. The younger cop gave a quick head shake. Chief, do you want me to take a report? Chief Terry nodded to his underling. I'll get Rhonda's statement. You take one from Miss... He gazed at Tippy and waited for her to fill in the blank.
Tippy Davenport, she supplied.
The chief frowned and then scanned the rest of us. Did you all witness the altercation?
Yes, Jilly said, but it was only some yelling and a tossed drink.
Only, Tippy scoffed. Jilly ignored her and continued.
I don't think you have to...
Chief Terry rolled his hand at the young officer. Just get Ms. Davenport's information and record her statement for the report. Then make a list of the witnesses' names.
Is this completely necessary? I asked. No one is pressing charges.
I'll decide what's important, the chief said.
He gave me a curious look.
Do I know you? Jilly laughed, then muttered, well, you do have a type in my ear. I elbowed her in the ribs.
I don't believe we've met, I told him. I just have the kind of face that looks familiar.
He smiled. It's a nice face. Oh, boy. George Clooney liked to flirt.
I shook my head as a smile tugged at my lips. Thanks.
With as much polite friendliness as I could muster, I added, we were trying to have a celebratory dinner. My friend is getting married in 4 days. I gestured to Jilly. Congratulations, ma'am.
The chief dipped his chin to my BFF.
We'll make this as quick and painless as possible, so you nice folks can get back to your fun.
Quick and painless amounted to 20 minutes. I'm sorry about your evening, Rhonda told us. You all rented the Bluff House, right?
Yes, that's us, I answered.
Her eyes were pinched at the corners, and she flashed a smile that resembled a grimace. Dinner and drinks are on the house, along with the wine and cheese walking tour tomorrow.
That's generous of you, I said, but it's not your fault the situation escalated.
As a small business owner, I knew how freebies could add up to a whole lot of nothing.
Tippy's shirt had started to dry, and the alcohol, which turned out to be white wine, was leaving a syrupy ring at the edges of the stain.
I love this shirt, Tippy lamented solemnly.
Before moving to Garden Cove, the younger Davenport had made some serious mistakes. Mistakes that her parents often paid for with trips to the emergency room, occasionally bailing her out of jail for drunk driving, and sending her to several different rehab facilities. They had cut off her allowance years earlier, so she'd clung to the few expensive items of status she still had. This shirt had been one of them.
Can I get a club soda for her shirt? I asked Rhonda.
Sure, honey, absolutely, the redhead said. She shot fizzy water from a fountain hose nozzle into a clear plastic cup and handed it to me. She pointed at a narrow corridor. Bathroom is just down the hall. Let me know if the paper towels are low, and I'll get you some more.
Thanks.
I took the club soda and looped my arm in Tippy's. Let's get that cleaned before the ring is permanent. Tippy sighed. Thanks, Nora.
It took some effort to ignore all the emotional memories that could come up in a public restroom.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?